This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening. Welcome to a live episode of That Real Podcast. Obviously, we didn't do one last night. According to some of you on Twitter, it's because we knew about the signing coming. We can't obviously make a comment on that. But look who's back. Hey, old times, hey. We might be joined by some others. I did forget to post in the link. But yeah, good evening to all of you who have commented. Good evening to my partner in crime, the co-host, the one and only Omar. Is it Omar or is it Omir, by the way? Because obviously when we went out the other night, your pals were calling you Omir and I was calling you Omar. And I felt like a villain.
It's Omar, but I don't mind you saying Omar. That's all right, mate. But it's, I know it's hard for some, so it's okay.
Is it Omar?
It's Omar's fine. Okay. There you go. But anyway, evening to the chat. Evening to everyone. Fun episode in store, no doubt. And
oh
yeah,
my God, look, you see?
Rolling back the years.
Glenn's already started it. Look, you see? Look, Dan Riggs, man like Omar. You know, Glenn is, oh my God, it's Omar. Omar does exist. A good evening to the 50 plus we've got so far. Hopefully that will be going up. Good evening. I've already liked, so get some more likes set up. Yeah, come on, gents. You know the way it rolls. We want to get all the likes up and ready. So, yeah. Go on in, Omar. What you got to say, fella?
We all lost 2-0 on Saturday. Happy days all round. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we lost to QPR on the weekend. Not the greatest of turnouts. London Derby, obviously, we came in our numbers. We had a good day out, didn't we, mate? Aside from the result. But yeah, it was damp squid, mate. Absolute damp squid. What did you make of it, mate? Trips to Loftus Road, it wasn't the same as it was last year, was it?
No, it was. It was definitely a different feeling, wasn't it? But Loftus Road is a shithole, isn't it? To be honest,
I like it. I like the old school feel to it.
You like the old school feel to it? Okay.
Yeah, I like the old school kind of nature of the ground. It's I don't know. It's not everyone's cup of tea, obviously. You've got the upper tier and lower tier kind of separated, which is a bit shy if you've got friends in the lower tier or whatever. But I think it's an old school ground. The atmosphere is a bit naff, but yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just talk about how we didn't turn up on Saturday, mate. And as Jared was said, we got it all wrong. Who's we? Does he mean the players or does he mean himself? Or there's a talking point, I suppose. I mean, it was quite a critical thought of him at post-match, mate. I don't know what you made of his comments.
I think he was right, and I think he had the ump, and I think that it was right. We didn't turn up in any shape or form. And I just think that, you know, we were there probably for the first 5-10 minutes, and then QPR just settled in, and they settled in, the lesser spotted Omar. They just settled in, and they just basically just grew with confidence, and I think we just crawled up our own arse, to be fair. We will get to a few points on why this didn't happen or why that happened, and do we believe that this was a message to the board, which seems to... My question on that is, was it a message to the board, which we're getting to, of hurry the fuck up because he knew it was in the background, or you know, we'll get to that. You see, Glenn, we're already going to have a bit of a thing here because I don't necessarily believe that Billy was. Danny, yes. Billy, I'm not sure. What's your thoughts on Billy?
I think it was interesting in the comments after the game as well, like I said, from Joe Edwards. He talks a good talk after a game, right? Especially when we've lost 2-0 and everyone's like, it's refreshing to see. So it's one thing saying it to us lot after the game, but I'm not, again, I think as Dan made a comment there, not acceptable for a 4-0 performance, especially in a London derby, you know, like them players, I don't know what more I said, if you needed to go into that game, obviously all we've done is now given hope to a team that's struggling at the bottom of the table. I mean, he's right what he said. We didn't pass forward a lot. There was instances where we was passing sideways or backwards. I think Billy fell susceptible to that. I thought he had a good game on Saturday as well. I kind of agree with Glenn a little bit. I don't think he was a standout player, but it was interesting. Like, you know, it was kind of where's that look to go forward and, you know, who's going to be, you know, trying to make that splitting pass. And no Denore on the pitch. Fleming, not really existent. I'm sure people love me saying that one. You know, I think it was obviously just a couple of mistakes that really cost us, really. I think Norton Cuffey got caught sleeping for the goal in the first half. The player nips in around the back post and taps it in. And then you've got that mistake from Sarkic in the second half after standing off players and letting them have their opportunities. I mean, that's what it is for me, really. You know, you've got really the opportunity to stamp your mark on the game. London derby, you're backed by a sold-out Millwall away end. Everyone's buzzing for the occasion. And the players just didn't put any fight in whatsoever there. It was really poor.
Chris Brown says Luton is a toilet and QPR is the B-day. Yeah. congratulations to you, Chris. I see the Detroit Lions won last night. I know you said you wouldn't mention them, but it's okay if I do so. Yeah, there you go. So what is it now? One more away from Super Bowl place, or is that it now? They've made the Super Bowl place. I'm not 100%, so I'm not a massive NFL fan. So where are we? What a load of bollocks. We were totally crap. Poor performance. No heart, no passion. We all agree that Nesbitt is no use.
Let's stick on that one.
We'll come back to him. 2 seconds. Right. Let's just do these other comments and then we'll come back. Can you please big up my son, Kenzie? He has autism. He is 6 years old. He was scared to play for a football team. I took him to the first training session on Saturday. He scored 14 goals and now the coach wants him to play a year above. Well, there you go. You're giving your boy a shout out yourself, mate. Well done, Kenzie. Bring your boots on Saturday, mate. You might be able to get a goal. If you can score goals like that, mate, then you should be playing for Millwall, to be fair, mate, because it's definitely we need a striker. Back pass, Billy. Yeah, we'll come on to Billy a bit later on. Wasn't just Billy. Whole team were useless. Yeah. Norton Cuffey, worst performance by far. Great. Yeah. Where are we? Well done, Kenzie. Yeah. James Berylson, we'll come back to that one. Pete, just quickly get through these, catch up to speed, and then we'll go. We'll come back to yours as well there. We got beaten by a poor side and worse. Yeah, we'll come back to you. Right, let's go back to Nesbitt question from Jonathan Fraser. Are we all agreed? I think, I don't know whether or not Nesbitt is really that shit or whether or not he just can't play as a single man up front.
Yeah. I don't actually, I can't claim to know what kind of setup he's played in previously at Hibs and obviously previous clubs prior to that. But I think he is kind of a striker. From what I've seen, it feels like he thrives on having two up top with him, or at least having, you know, number 10 like Fleming Pusher on and be next to him up front. Obviously Bradshaw's injury is untimely, and I guess Bradshaw would be starting this side prior to the news of who might be trying to sign today and Obafemi. But yeah, I mean, I thought, obviously we said it on Saturday at the game, didn't we? And I know it's the real talking point for us. I mean, Nesbitt was non-existent, and the comments after the game, going back to that, he was quite critical of the hold-up play up front. I think he said after the first 10 minutes, he maybe didn't blame the defenders for holding on to the ball the way they did because, you know, there was no hold-up up top. That's a direct dig at your striker, your only fit striker. And you hook him off after, what, 55, 60 minutes and bring on Ryan Longman. And
who's
a winger. And we said it during the game, didn't we? It was like, bloody hell.
And I just agreed with you.
I love how you credited me when I was trying to be quite coy there. But yeah, I was like, that's a message, isn't it? And after the game where he's come out and be critical of him, it's like a... get me my striker. And obviously, Obafemi's in the pipelines, and now he's coming in. It was no surprise to me, but it's quite ballsy from Edwards to kind of be like, right, we're 1-0 down, London derby, not really creating a lot. I'm going to take off my striker and bring on a winger who done nothing either, to be honest. But it kind of highlighted a real statement, I thought, from Edwards. And you obviously agreed, Mickey, didn't you?
I do. I mean, look, right, I know I joked around and I said, you know, Nesbitt's going to score 20 goals this season and all this, right? And to be fair, watching him put him away in pre-season, I honestly thought he could potentially do it. But the trouble is, I know he's our leading goal scorer, and this is the bit more, you know, it is hard to fathom. He has, what, five goals? And he has the leading goal scorer within our team. But the problem is he just doesn't seem, I don't know, he just seems like a full-on selfish, stroppy teenager who just, if he can't get the ball and do what he wants, then he'll fuck the chance. And every time he fucks the chance, he puts us back, you know, we lose the ball and it fucking seems to go on. I mean, Nesbitt seems lost when playing on his own. Totally agree with you, Pete. And sometimes he feels lost playing with other people. If he sees someone else on and he's got the ball and he thinks, I want this, he will go ahead and try and do it. It's all about him rather than the team, I feel personally. And, you know, and seeing him and watching him and everything else. I don't think, and I did say this before he come, what, when we talked about him in January, and then it sort of didn't come on. And I said, you know, realistically, will he be able to step up from, you know, Sunday Pub League Scottish football to the, you know, to the Championship? Because it's two completely different sets of football. I mean, don't forget, the Championship football is the second best league in the country. And it's probably, you know, one of the top rated ones around the world. Do you know what I mean? Because it is very, very fast, very fucking proper football.
I think a lot of people are defending him in the chat. I think rightly so as well. I think you are right. Whilst you are taking a piss a bit out of the Scottish League in the process, and
the Scottish League is shit. Though, isn't it? When you have two teams,
it's the Farmers League, isn't it? As they keep calling it, it's two teams always up there and stuff. But yeah, that's the generic term of it. But I can't claim to watch a lot of it. But I think it's clear, obviously, that Nisbet's not that kind of striker to hold the ball up on his own, be up front. He is kind of a finisher, and you need to have that service. And I think a few of the guys in the chat are making that point. You know, it's easy to blame him. It's, you know, Josh will say, I still think he'll hit 10. You know, people are praising him there in the sense that, you know, that he's obviously got a decent tally already, and he's not had real opportunities maybe, or real service up front. I don't think Edward is having him quite clearly. I think he wants a lot more from his forwards, and I guess we'll lead the chat on to Obafemi. I mean, put it into everyone in the comments, what do we make of Obafemi potentially coming in? Because I don't know if you remember him playing against us, Mickey, but he obviously scored against us, I think, in the Swansea game when we drew 2-2, got two late goals in the game. I think it was that game. I might be mistaken, but I did see a clip of it today. But I think he's that kind of striker that, for me anyway, he's not really as more prolific in front of goal. He's a bit more wasteful, if anything, compared to Nisbet. But he certainly gets the opportunities to score goals, though. And he's got that raw pace up front, which is what obviously Edwards is saying about pace and athleticism and strength. He's not a target man either. So are you going to leave Obafemi up front on his own? Because I'm pretty sure he's about 5'8". He's a striker, but he's got a pure pace about him. So are we suggesting we're going to set up on the counter-attack? How are we going to kind of set the team up a bit more? Because, you know, you're not going to have a side that's going to turn up and dominate possession and give him the opportunities. It's going to be more, I imagine, counter-attacking football, try to set it through on goal, and obviously have teams come onto us. But I could be wrong.
I totally agree. Good evening, Danny F. Nice to meet you at QPR, mate. And yeah, Nesbitt doesn't work. I think that's it. Nesbitt just doesn't work hard enough for the ball. I mean, the new lad coming in, I've seen a lot of negativity about him on socials and stuff, where people going, you know, 21 goals or 27 goals in 92 appearances and all this. I don't think we're necessarily getting him for his goal scoring ability. I think we're getting him because of his pace and the fact that he can hold balls up. And holding balls up brings others into play, like Nesbitt.
I think you need to get, the problem with always our sides are, is you don't get the players, especially when it's one up front, we never get the forwards and attackers or the support around the striker enough. And it's always that whole case of the player being isolated up top. And I think with Obafemi, I mean, if there's going to be energy up front, I mean, what? You look at a prospect of, do we, I mean, if we go back to Saturday anyway, but I will do in a sec, because obviously there's a lot of comments about no Saville and no Denor. I wonder if he had an eye on trying to keep him protected for next week. But then, you know, you've got bigger things to worry about, I suppose. But then it's a London derby game there, isn't it? But Emmanuel Obafemi could be an interesting prospect. That's real pace up front. But I guess we'll steer it back to Saturday's game, because we get quite a few comments there, Mickey, aren't we? But, you know, poor decision not to play Saville. What do you make of that one, mate? He's back from suspension.
Well, we were discussing this, weren't we? Why were they on the bench if they weren't fit? And was it just the fact of, hey, Fult, we're not playing full on. Are they really going to make a massive change? And is it worth just saving them for the next game? But on that same level, I think that if we were screaming out, wouldn't we, for midfield, to hold up and put the ball forward. And I think we missed a chance, but why we missed it. Again, you know, the problem is we don't know why he didn't bring him on. Why he didn't bring on, you know...
I would assume he's had an eye on the next few games instead and thought we're going to save him for the future games. But, I mean... I don't know, risky call. Like, you know, you're basically allowing a team below you to get a result against you, and you're watching the game unfold in front of your eyes and not bringing on probably your two best midfielders. I mean, in Denor's case, he's coming back from injury. Saville's case, not played the last three because of suspension, but you'd think you'd want to at least get them involved in the game and get some minutes on the pitch and try and move them forward a bit more. I don't know, maybe just thought it wasn't the right occasion for them.
David agrees with you. Efemi ruined us when he was at Swansea.
Yeah, I think, again, like I said about him, I don't think he was a clear fall in the sides, and that pace always caused the likes of Hutchinson and Cooper issues, and that's for sure. But he was very wasteful in front of goal the games I've seen him, but I'm not writing him off. I think he's a good signing. When I saw his links with him, and I saw Fabrizio Romano break it before Richard Cowley as well.
Well, not just that. I mean, Cairo did it. Cairo did it as well.
Yeah, and then, Fabrizio went first, though, so he's got that
intel. Fabrizio went first, and then we basically shared his, and then Cairo done it too, and then obviously spoken to the club and said, yeah, they confirmed it's happening, and then obviously Richard Cowley come out and said, yeah, he's having a medical today, and hopefully it should be signed off tomorrow, which points to me was this happening last week? And according to Richard Cowley, he's saying that this isn't the youth player he spoke about last week. So potentially there's another young prospect coming in. Mm-hmm. But was the fact that he took off a striker, brought on a winger to say, I've got no fucking strikers. Will you pull your finger out your ass and get this fucking deal done?
Yep.
Because that was definitely a message.
I think so. And like I said in the, earlier on, I think it definitely was something of him making a statement saying, get a striker in, get me a player in that's going to do a bit more than what I've got in a minute, which was Nisbet. And obviously he came out afterwards and criticised the lack of hold-up, the lack of, you know, lack of energy up front, lack of play in the final third. And that's a direct dig at Nisbet, you'd imagine, because he came off and was hooked off pretty much after, 55, 60 minutes, wasn't it? So,
yeah. I mean, Longman and Wallace were good when they come on. Wallace was exceptionally... I think they looked as if they had heart to do. I mean, they weren't doing a lot.
I liked Wallace's involvement, don't get me wrong. But again, he came off for a player in Joe Bryan that I'm losing faith in, to be honest, because that's the salary we're paying him. And you've got to think he's on a big earner at the club.
He's
a free transfer. And then it's like, you look at his performance, you're like, he doesn't look interested. And that's the problem with Joe Bryan for me. He doesn't look like a player that wants to be here, be a player that turns out and give his all. I don't know. He's obviously come back from injuries this season. He's obviously, you know, kind of going through the motions, trying to get a run of games under his belt. He doesn't look like a player that wants to play part of the line.
He's cost our games,
yeah. I noticed also someone what I want to pick up on as well. No Romain Eze again. Okay. He's criticising the final third and lack of attacking play, yet neglects to try and bring on Eze again. So, not that I'm the manager, I don't have the choice in that say, but I think that for me shows he has no faith in SA and perhaps a low move. A low London move, surely?
Yeah, I mean, that's what London Lions says there. Look, Longman from Nesbitt shows that there is a big problem with SA. What that is, I don't know. Is it attitude? Is it? I mean, when we met him,
the attitude
when we saw him before, he looked as if he was a nice kid, but has you know, the pro and the money tucked up. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I don't think he's on silly money, but a couple of grand a week all of a sudden for, you know, a young kid, has that sort of made him a little bit then the senior players we've got would probably bring him back in line rather quickly, wouldn't they?
I don't know his attitude. I don't know. I know from the fact when I met him, he's a nice guy. He seems to be, you know, a good kid, like we say. He's got his head on shoulders. Prepared his speech, did he, for the player for Young Player of the Year, and had notes for it to read out to everyone that was there at the Player of the Year. You could tell he really wanted to make a good impression. So I don't see that disappearing, especially with a youth coach that's come in that's got a real desire to play young players. I guess Edwards just ain't having him, and that's the fact, really.
Yeah, or I just wonder, I mean, if you look at the players in that now, there seems to be a good team spirit with Edwards. But I just wonder how much of it, say, his confidence was probably destroyed by Rowett.
Maybe. I mean, obviously, Rowett was the one that got back to him and gave him the opportunity. He came on against Middlesbrough and scored the winner, first game of the season as well. I'm not saying... Listen, Rowett done a lot of good as well as more bad in my eyes for me all sometimes, because it was Marmite, wasn't it, Gary Rowett? But one thing he did do was give Romanesi the opportunity. And since we've had Edwards come in, I say his game time has been limited to, what, 2 or 3 games?
Yeah.
And that's since October now, November. So, yeah, it's a shame, really. Not really great opportunity for SA there, but I guess he's going to... I can only imagine he's going to go out to League One or League Two. That's the only thing I can imagine at this point, because there's no much use keeping him in, like, as an unused sub on the bench every week. Surely not. I don't know what the chat thinks.
Yeah, do you think Nessay should be going out to loan, or do you want to keep him in the team? Wallace Cooper, Nesbitt, Fleming, Campbell and Longman all got to go for this team to change. Not good enough for this season, any of them names. A bit harsh, but I think you've got a point on a few of those, yeah. For all the joking of Aldo looking a football manager, I think he deserves huge credit. Last couple of windows, won't get every deal right, but he's done brilliant in my opinion. Well, yeah, maybe, but Fleming wasn't him. Casper Denor wasn't him. I don't think Brian was him.
Tanganga
Sarkic wasn't him.
Tanganga was Joe Edwards signing it, it feels like, because he's got the contacts from the England youth setup, and obviously...
Yeah. I just think that there's been a fair amount of PR of Aldo says this and Aldo says that. And I just personally, I can't see Aldo having the contacts anywhere near what Joe Edwards got. And the fact that there was a bit of PR saying that Aldo recommended Tanganga to Joe Edwards, to me, sort of makes me think, yeah, there's a PR machine at play there to try and obviously bring him back into the fold of Millwall fans. But hey ho, you know.
I don't know. There was also that rumour about...
you're always welcome to reply, mate. You have a right to reply, Aldo, if you ever want to.
Well, sorry to drop you, mate, but also that rumour about the Palace head coming in.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name on top for Love Nor Money, but there's a new head of recruitment coming in, isn't there? So, I don't know. There's a restructure happening, isn't there? A lot of Joe Bryan negativity in the chat, and I'm not going to dispute it, to be honest. He's not done enough to keep his spot. Wallace should drop back into the team ASAP, says Glyn, and I do agree with him. Sam T called him a melt. I'm not going to disagree with you there either. I just don't think he's up for the fight to be here, up for the cause. A lot of people say a loan move might be a good idea for SA as well. Maybe is it far-fetched to say send him to Sutton United for the rest of the season, Mickey?
Maybe. Or Cambridge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, you'd want to play as high level as possible, but send him to League Two and stick with Morrow. Imagine that.
I would send him. Personally, I think Morrow putting a bit of him in him would be much better benefit for us than maybe sending him to Neil Harris.
I think Mark McCallum's literally coming with a comment exactly the same time as us saying this, by the way, which is quite funny. But yeah, I think just top of my head there, you've got two ex-Mill, you know, strikers, attackers that know what it takes to succeed at the Den. Is it worth sending them a SA on loan there for half a season?
Well, look, I mean, Danny F has got a point there. Three managers haven't fancied him: Rowett, Bauer, Barrett, and now Edwards.
I mean, I'm not going to just dispel the rumour about, like, maybe he's got, you know, well, it's not even a rumour, but you know where we say, like, could it be that it's just not fancied, or is it his attitude? he's, you know, he's a young player that's playing England under 19 setup, and you don't get recognised for England under 19s without being a good player. So I don't think it's his attitude. I can't see it, but he has got a new deal with the club, and he obviously then got a deal with Skechers, who do the, now do football boots now, and he's, you know, one of their athletes, as they call them nowadays, and signed to a brand. So I can see the argument for his attitude getting a bit too big for his head, but then I suspected, and we all did, that he's going to leave this window because someone's, you know, people saying, is their move lined up for him to go out to a Premier League club? But nothing's happened yet, and he's not playing games, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go into the background of it all, but obviously Barry Dunn was sacked. I'm not going to go into the politics of it all and all of that, but Barry Dunn was sacked, and he was obviously one of our youth scouts as such, and it obviously arose a position, and that position become available, and they needed to find someone who's a football mind. I think the problem is nowadays they don't necessarily have, and I think it's important. I mean, Christ, there's a show what I posted in our group from 2 years ago where me, Omar and Kai were discussing this very moment that, you know, that Millwall needs to have a like a brand as such of around
a style of play.
Style of play, there we go. A style of play. Around Millwall, and you know, and 2 years later, we still don't necessarily have that style of play, but hopefully it will be going in the right direction under Edwards. I think we've just got to stick with it. I think we can all see what Edwards is doing. Mm-hmm. It's just that the board needs to back him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, obviously Edwards was the division, isn't it, to help try and realise what James wants to do, James Bellison. So, but then again, this whole move with Aldo stuff was done when John was around, obviously. So, you don't know, is there unrest, or is it a case of it's going to slowly transition more, and there's going to be more of a shift in style and more? I don't know. There's obviously a bit of uncertainty there, I suppose, regardless of whatever way you look at that, really.
Yeah,
I agree with Greeny Boy. SA's as humble as they come. It's not attitude.
I spent Green's burner account, by the way. Yeah, even though he comes on the sense, it isn't, but I think it is.
Of course it is. defensive work is why he's getting played, and best position is still unknown. Yeah, but then, like, I'd argue playing him up front and bringing on the SA instead of Longman in a role where he's going to be up front and isolated up top in a one striker formation probably doesn't need to do much defensive work, but the manager's not having him, or the head coach isn't having him.
Do you know the madness is that that piece we did about 2 years ago, and maybe I'll just stick it as a card on this, or put it in a link in the description of this video when it goes out, is we said, is it time to not have a manager anymore? Is it time to have a head coach and then a director of football who's basically, you know, the style is there and we just coach around that style? Maybe that's what we're seeing. Maybe, you know, maybe that is what we're seeing coming in under Edwards. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, look, Ben's here now. Here's my actual account, fellas.
Yeah. Well, I think
if you want to come on, Ben, come on. I'll put it in the what do you call it, mate? I'm sure we could do with another football minded person on rather than me fucking pretending I know what's what. So yeah. And I'm sure you've got a whinge in you as well, so come on. Oh, look, Steven's there as well. Just catch it. Look, you've got a link in the group. Come on if you want to come on, boys. It's no dramas. It's my fault. I did forget to sign the signing through me, really. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Steven, obviously, Steven Schultz wearing Steven says, just catching the show now and talk on SA. The fact we had two attackers on the bench and he couldn't get a game says it all to me. That Joe Edwards doesn't fancy him. Get him loaned out and league experience.
For sure. Set game out. Game tomorrow at Sutton. Or
Ben Green's coming on. Ben Green's coming on in 5 minutes. 5 minute warning that Ben Green is coming on.
Northern correspondent's coming on.
No, that's it. So, I mean, Watmore can play up top. Longman can play wide. Mental. Yeah. We didn't put SA or the others on. So, yeah, you know, it is. I mean, ideally, get in the chat. Let us know in the chat now. Do you think that we suit a two up front, three, or a one? What do you think is our best suited formation really with strikers? I know we don't necessarily have the strikers, but hey ho, let's just pretend that we've got enough strikers to fill all those different formations. What do you feel?
You know, with that, Mickey, though, like for me, right, I don't necessarily believe a style is nailed onto a certain manager. Obviously, they've got their revisions and stuff. But when you look at Millwall Football Club, there's always got to be two up front. Always got to be two up front for Millwall. And that's for me. Like, you look through the successful teams in our history, in my lifetime anyway, early 2000s. Obviously, prior to I was born, it was the late 80s. And if you look at later on, under Jacket, two up front. If you look at Neil Harris, two up front. I think for me, it's whilst we can say old school and, you know, the two up front's faded away. I think for people at, like, for Millwall to succeed, like, as a club, it's always been two up front. And for me, to extend that, it's always been two up front and two wingers either side. But that's for me. But, like,
everyone is,
you know,
agreeing.
What I mean? See, everyone's gone two up front.
It's what we've been used to, though.
But it's not to say it can't succeed with one up front. It's just, you know, to have the patience and win that and earn that respect from the fans, we want to see a certain style of, you know, almost up and at them. We don't like to see the ball pass around aimlessly at the back. And that was frustrating on Saturday. And Edwards was right to criticise him. And I want to know what the chat thinks about his comments after the game as well, because it's quite critical. And he's not really a manager that's come in with, okay, he's got the background of Chelsea, working through the academy, working his way out from the age groups. And, you know, he's obviously got the background and the somewhat pedigree in the game. But when you look at the season pros on that side, are they, how long will they accept criticism from a manager that's not ever, you know, played at their level? Never managed at that level until now. I'm still pro Edwards, and I still think we're going to go places because he's attracting the right talent, the right players, and I'm excited. Yeah. But how much longer can he come out and keep criticising the players when they're turning around going, well, you set us up in this formation, you set us up to play this way. You know, he's obviously going to take the accountability, but he keeps coming out and criticising the players after games, and we know in football, the modern day football game, that doesn't always end well. So,
no, you know,
Troy Deeney at Forest Green Rovers will testify to that one as well.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, I like to see two up front, three midfield. Good evening, Benjamin.
Evening, fellas.
To see two up front with three midfield behind and play more narrow. We don't have good wingers. It would work in our favours. Now you're on it, I will just bring this comment back in because you two will know this more than me. Murray Wallace as a false nine. Yes or no?
It's a piss take. Pure piss take from Sam T. Ben, would you have him up front in a nine?
Definitely, mate. He's definitely got the physical attributes, the agile nature of Murray Wallace. Definitely, mate. Definitely. Yeah, oh, he couldn't do any worse than our mate Kevin Nisbet, could he?
Well, yeah.
We'll go into that in a bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. A lot of what about you for formations for what team, I mean, all formations succeed? A lot of people in the comments are all saying two up top is like a default, and I agree with that, to be honest, with Mill in history anyway. What's a successful Mill side for you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably two parts to that question, right? It's probably what have we always played, which has always been a traditional sort of 4-4-2, or certainly with two strikers, but I think in the games we've done well recently, or since Edwards has come in, we've kind of played with that centre forward and two tens, or the two 9.5s, as I've said a couple of times. So we kind of ended up with sort of three centre forwards or three people in central areas. So I think it depends on what we're going to play. It's going to be interesting now to see whether Obafemi, pending or assuming that deal is completely done. Is he going to go in? Because he's not overly big, if I'm right in saying. He's not.
No, I don't think he is. 5'8", maybe.
That's what I mean. So, again, he's not going to be playing up top on his own. I wouldn't have thought. So, he's going to want to play with someone else up there. I'm still adamant that we should be giving Fleming a go up top. He's probably, out of all of our forward players, the one with the most physical presence.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
Benjamin Green's burner account. Could Mitchell score in a brothel for people listening to this as a podcast?
Do you know what? I'm starting to just think he's struggling, isn't he, Billy?
Yeah, proper. I mean, it was weird because I would, being there watching him and watching obviously a lot of his off-ball stuff and all that lot, I would definitely not have put him up for man of the match. But a lot of people were putting him up for man of the match. And I just wonder if that was people who watched it live or people who are watching it on a stream. And I just wondered what the difference, because it is a lot different, because we've had it when you boys have been away and I've watched on a stream and then we have a conversation and you boys were going, no, he did all right. But on the stream, he looked really shit. Do you know what I mean? So it's, well, I think there's a massive difference.
Obviously you two were there. I would say I don't think he was man of the match, but then I don't know who I would have picked for man of the match. But I don't think he was our worst player.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But I think that's sort of, that is Billy, I think, now, isn't it? I just think he's never going to be your worst player. But I don't think he's progressed as I would have liked him to.
I think he's got good attributes to be a serious box-to-box midfielder, but he's just been shoehorned into a deep-line playmaker in a sense where he gets on the ball, drops deep and gets it, picks it up and passes it sideways like everyone criticises him for. But I think, I think it was at Charlton in the pre-season friendly, he came on and there was at one point where he just, albeit it's a friendly game, he looked like he had that kind of engine to get up and down the pitch. And I don't think we see that enough from Billy anymore. And I think he's been shoehorned into this kind of drop deep, gets on the ball, and then you allow the others to get on the ball. And I don't know if maybe Denora and Mitchell could be an option in the future, but I think he has got the ability to get up and down the pitch. But it's just been taken away from the game, really.
I think Danny's been good two games on the trot now.
I would love to see Casper and Honeyman in there. That would be, I think, my best two in midfield. I don't think it's been a coincidence that our best performances, I think, over a consistent period have coincided with Honeyman going into a deeper, more central midfield role. Mm. I just think he has everything that you need.
What about Fleming and the new boy up front?
Yeah, I think that would work, mate. As I say, I think Fleming has the physical attributes. He's decent in the air, isn't he? I think he can hold it. The biggest thing with us going forward is, and Edwards alluded to it in all of his interviews that he did, was the fact that the ball kept going forward and it just was like a boomerang. It came back straight away. We couldn't get it to stick. I think he's going to be our best forward player in terms of holding it up there and getting us up the pitch a bit better.
Mm. Pressure starts to slowly build, I think, though, as well. You know, if we get Obafemian, he's going to get Tanganga probably in the starting on Saturday. I think someone said about the formation, obviously talking about maybe three at the back. I think that is obviously what he wants to do. He is still kind of a back three, it feels like, in games when we have the ball. Without the ball, well, when we have the ball, it's back four, it feels like. Norton Coffey bombs on. Without the ball, Norton Coffey drops deep. That's where he was found at the back post for the mistake on the first goal. But I think there is going to be a slight change. Tanganga will be a good addition in that back line. And then you've got, I guess, Obafemi and Fleming up top, like Ben's saying there. But what do you reckon, Mickey?
Yeah, I think the new boy is definitely going to get a start on Saturday. And I think Tanganga looked good when he was on. He was up for it and all that. But I think it was a bit of a poor show to bring him on, really, when we were 2-0 down. Though. You know, realistically, I mean, at 60 minutes, we could have just changed the midfield and had a go at it. I mean, the way Murray come on and was trying to push everything forward, I mean, I think that if he had a bit of support in the midfield, I think we could have possibly looked at doing something. But, you know, hey-ho, it is what it is. We've got to talk about their player as well, the one who decided to pick something up and throw it back at the crowd. I haven't seen fucking anything about that. I don't know.
Centre half, wasn't it? It was the one of the centre halves. Yeah, was shit. It was very shit. You would never see anything from it anyway, I suppose, because it's just the way it goes. But I'm just looking at the stats for the game, and I'm getting amazed to see that we had the two attempts on goal. I don't even remember having one, to be honest. It was a poor.
Yeah, one of them was Billy's, wasn't it? About fucking 30 yards out.
Yeah. I mean, they had an XG of 1.75. If you're into your XG, Mill have an XG of 0.17. We had three corners the whole game. They had two. It's just really naff, wasn't it? It's just for a London derby at QPR. We was all up for it pre-game, weren't we? Let's be honest, Mickey. Everyone was saying when we was out, like, we're going to turn up and win today. I really felt confident as well. But that was
we said on the show before, real mate, shocker. That we were going to be 2-3-0, you know. And, yeah.
I thought we were absolute certainty Saturday. Genuinely, yeah. I told all my mates to put us in their hackers. I just thought we were certainties.
Yeah. This is a QPR side that haven't won as well since beating Hull at home in the start of December. You know, pressure was really on them.
That's it. No disrespect to you, fella. I know you're QPR, but rival fans will come on, just get called Arthur. So it looks as if we have a new Arthur in the chat. So there we go. But hey-ho. You were lucky. That's pretty much it, really. Glenn has a point. When Mitchell first got into the team under Rowett, Billy was quoted as saying that Gary Rowett and our Paul Robbo were trying to stop him attacking as they thought it wasn't his strength or it was what the team needed. And maybe they just trained that, you know, to coach that out of him.
I definitely was a Charlton game pre-season. I think there was a point where he gets the ball from deep, bombs forward a bit, pings it 30, 40 yards forward, and I think he sets Nisbet up on a counter-attack. And it's like, you don't see Billy do that at all anymore because it's been purely coached out of his game. I do think he has that ability to get up and down the pitch. In the youth teams, he was that striker, that midfielder, sorry, to, you know, kind of, I remember scoring a cork of a goal against Tottenham. I think it was Tottenham under 18s in the FA Youth Cup. And you don't see that anymore with Mitchell. Like, he does have the ability. And they always say, like, you know, he's one of the fittest in pre-season, always running, always, you know, fit as a fiddle. But it's like, now it's just like he's a slow kind of midfielder looking to play sideways all the time. He's neat on the ball, but that's not his best side of his game, I don't think.
Isn't Ofemi Irish, isn't he?
Yeah, Ofemi is Irish.
So he plays with Matt Amaku, so maybe that could be a good striking.
I don't think they actually played together before, but yeah.
Ofemi's slightly older, isn't he? I think he's in the full national setup, I think.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think QPR is.
Two Irish boys up top.
Yeah. But the fans stick with Jonathan. I keep calling him Jonathan. If the fans stay with Joe Edwards, it could lead to a successful period. I think we will. I think it will come on. Goal was around 70-minute work. Yeah.
I thought shot goal.
Yeah. You can hear from Edwards' interviews that he's getting frustrated about the lack of quality at times that we show. And you can just, I mean, he said it again in a couple of the different interviews. I think one was with the BBC London, the other one was on Millwall TV, where he kind of went, he said that I don't want to throw the players under the bus, they got credit in the bank, but you can kind of see that I'm assuming he'd given them a volley in the changing room, and given an opportunity, he probably would have been quite harsh on quite a few of them, which was rightly so, but
I think
he gets us. I really do think he gets us.
I do too, really. And I think it's probably the first manager we've had in a long time who's got us so quickly.
Yeah.
Normally you'll get the bullshit from the managers going, you know, like with fucking Hollertwat, who come in and he's like, oh, I understand them and all that, and then wrote all the shit all over the changing room, what just isn't us. sorry, that's just throwing me now.
I don't think I've listened
from a QPR fan's point of view. Millwall need a striker.
He got the bragging rights, I suppose, mate, on Saturday, so I'll let him have that one. But I think I agree with what you've got to say about Edwards. He does get us. It feels a good, he feels a good fit for us. But I do think he's got to be careful what he says post-match against about the players. Whilst we agree with it to the extent, he is also the man culpable for setting that team up to go out there and play the game. And he can change it up a bit better if he wants to than he did on Saturday. I feel like team selection felt a bit different. I'm sure there's reasons behind it and motives behind it and, you know, stuff we will never find out about. But then the subs as well, like they're questionable subs, really. Longman for Nisbet didn't really feel right. Playing Longman up front, that's the first time we've seen that happen. And we've already debated that earlier on the show. You know, maybe that was a message to the board. And obviously we're signing up with Femi today or tomorrow. But he has got to be careful after a loss or defeat because he come out and criticise the players. Like, because he's also the man responsible for setting that team up. He had all week on the training ground with them, and he's the manager of the team that produced an XG of 0.17 against a team bottom of the league. So, you know, he has got to be careful with that.
I get that point, but I also think, based on our last few performances, I mean, we've been really good, right? We just haven't had the results to show for it. I mean, everyone said first half Middlesbrough was superb, Leicester we should have won. So the performances are there from the players. I think it was such a bad performance from us Saturday. It's one of those games where you just got to put a line through it and move 100%. On. It's just, don't dwell on it. It's we've been doing well, we've improved, and you've just got to go. It's just one of those games. But I think it's right to criticise the players.
I think he's right to criticise, but it's a common thing when we lose games. Like, okay, sometimes he accepts, but like, you just got to be careful because like, it can quickly go against you because because in modern day football, that squad of players can suddenly decide to not put it in for you anymore. And then before you know it, I feel like Millwall backing him, and I feel like the squad's in general backing him, but he does need, so I don't know, it's just, I felt like it was a good talking the talk after the game, but, you know, he oversaw that team on Saturday, so it's like, he's also got to kind of put his hand up himself, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but Saturday I felt like it was just purely on the blame on the players, which I understood his frustrations, because they were shocking, but he's also the man in charge, so, cool. Remember we was linked with Dykes last
Was that last January, wasn't it?
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I mean, that's what Alex S. said, wasn't he? He said, after Saturday, you can see why Scotland picked Dykes ahead of Nesbitt.
He's a bit more of everything, isn't he? He gives his all up front. And...
Yeah. It's a question for you, fellas. So I said it the other week. Do you think if we had Edwards in charge over the summer, we would have signed Nesbitt? Do you think Nesbitt is a Joe Edwards sort of player?
Nah.
No.
Judging by how he hooks him off after, what, 55, 60, I definitely don't think he's having him.
Yeah. And the fact that you put Longman on instead of him is if to say, you're shit, I'd rather put a winger there than you.
Yeah, and the straight for me. And post-game and every interview he's done, he's like, yeah, we didn't hold the ball up front. And I don't blame the defenders. Yeah, we didn't hold the ball up front enough. We didn't, and also I don't blame the defenders after a while for not passing it forward when it's not sticking up top. It's like, it's literally just going, fuck you, Nisbet, basically, it felt like.
And also, I think with Edwards is, if you look at the way youth football is now, it's all about pace, and it's pace up front and running at people, holding the ball, running at people, getting a chance to run. And I mean, there's been loads of people come on over the time, over since Nesbitt's been here, going, oh, you know, Nesbitt's a really good holder up of the ball and all that. Well, yeah, maybe, but we just haven't fucking seen it yet. You know, and being able to hold the ball up in Scotland doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to hold the ball up in the championship. So, yeah, just one thing before, while you're watching, because obviously we are only on YouTube today, so while you are watching, if you've not already subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Tap the notification bell as well while you're there. That way you'll never miss a show coming up. And also, we have got just, 100 or so of you watching live with us. Just make sure you press that like button, because at the moment, I've only got about a third of you who've liked it. So if you can press that like button, it does us more favours than you could possibly imagine. It's like YouTube giving me a kiss on the cheek.
Where next for Nisbet, do you think, chaps? Because, okay, it's only one game, but obviously, Danny Mills put a question there. Was Nisbet Addo signing? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I reckon he was, definitely,
yeah. You would say that.
when we know that Fleming was a rowit, because we were told by someone very well connected on a train back from QPR last year, to be fair, that Fleming was definitely... a Rowett signing. Was Nesbitt a Rowett signing, or was he a?
I don't know.
I think
it's an interesting conundrum in Nesbitt, because is he the type of character from what we've seen? You know, could he be the character that's going to kick on and, you know, really take on that criticism and basically try and shove it back to Edwards, or does he not fancy it down here? Does he not fancy it down in London? Is it, you know, is he homesick? Is, you know, Scottish boy down here? Where does he go? Does he end up moving on this window? Back to Scotland on a loan move? Is that extreme to say?
Rangers.
Yeah?
I reckon Rangers, because I don't think Hibbs would have sold to Rangers if he was up there. But the fact that he's come here and we probably got, obviously, wherever we want to sell him to, I think if he goes anywhere, he'll probably go back to Scotland. And
he's very
Rangers.
Well looked at from Scotland fans. They still admired up there. So I don't know. What do you reckon, Ben? I still think he sticks about for obviously the rest of the season, if it feels like. Yeah, but
I think he'll be here till the end of the season. But I do think he could go in the summer. Really do think he could go in the summer.
There you go. It's Celtic instead then. He's a Celtic lad.
I was just about to say, he was heavily linked with Celtic. Obviously, Hibs and Celtic have a bit of a mutual respect, don't they, for each other. He was heavily linked with them, I think, year before last. So, yeah, if he's had any watch, we're going back up there. But, yeah, in his defence slightly, I don't think he's a lone striker. I think he can't play that role. But I think what you've got with Bradders is, we say it a million times, is he may not be the most prolific goal scorer, but you can see he will always give you 110% and he'll run for a brick wall for you. When you don't have that in Nisbet, you're always then just going to go, well, he don't look like his arse. He doesn't look like he's bothered. He's not working hard enough. I think that's the difference between the two. Bradders might not score for 5-6 games, but you'll never come off the pitch going, well, Bradders didn't put a shift in today. I think that's the big difference. And us as a club, right, that's all we generally want. If you know the players have put a shift in, you're all right. But I think he's starting to edge into that, is he arse category? Is he lazy?
And I think that's, he does look lazy, though. He looks I don't know if it's lazy or whether or not it's selfishness and the fact that maybe he doesn't necessarily trust the players around him, so he wants to have a go at finishing himself, maybe, rather than self. I think selfish is probably the thing, because, look, there's obviously something about him. You don't get signed for the level of money you got signed for unless there is something about you. But, I don't know. I mean,
Mickey, I think he's a good finisher. He has to play up front in this league with someone else.
Yeah.
He just can't play up
there. Maybe the new boy is going to be, it's going to be them two up front. So, yeah.
Thanks very much, fella. For Burnley? Has he just not got any?
Ben, just because his mum's not fit.
What did you say there, Ben, anyway, before that? Sorry.
Has Obafemi played at all for Burnley this year?
Two or three games tops in the Premier League. I was looking earlier, actually. On the squad stats, he has played. He's been on the bench a few games. His last involvement was the 5-0 win over Sheffield United on the 2nd of December, played 14 minutes. Prior to that, he came off 6 minutes at the Emirates for Arsenal, and he's been injured otherwise before that. So it looks like he's been in and around the matchday squads over Christmas, but not featured. Didn't play in the FA Cup either, which is interesting.
We're getting up to near the hour mark, and we said we'd do about an hour or so. So my thoughts are is that the board need to heavily support Edwards, not just on loanees. We need to look at getting some prospects in. But it's a bit worrying, obviously, what I said to you on Saturday, Mo, is obviously through a very good contact to, I believe that there was a load of names, 8 names given to Aldo, of up and coming players in a cold part of the world, and they were ignored. And those 8 players we could have probably picked up for best part of £1 million, and they've now been sold for a community figure of about £100 million. And it just worries me that, with a comment what was made from that person, that we don't necessarily scout players, we look at statistics. And that might be the way football's gone. But to me, you might look good on Football Manager, but when you watch you play, you could be a crock of shit, i.e. Nesbitt, Fleming, do you know what I mean, et cetera, et cetera.
We're all safe, so yeah, it's definitely a lie.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, to me, I think sometimes you need to look at a player. I mean, I would have thought we would have got that Aldershot lad. For the investment for that, for £250,000. I think that would have been a good investment for us. Loaning back to Aldershot, having for next season, job done.
If Rich put out the other day about a youngster being signed, is that still in the pipeline?
Well, he said today that that's still on, because someone asked him that question. Someone said, is this the youngster you were talking about the other day? And he replied, no, there's another one. I personally think that this striker was in the remit last week. And I think it was, whatever happened, it didn't go. And it didn't go over the line quick enough. I think I think Edwards wanted him for Saturday, and it didn't go over the line quick enough. And I think that's part of the message where I've got no fucking strikers. Hurry up and get this deal done. We've put Longman up front. And because all of a sudden, this comes out. And I mean, the only reason that Fab is basically releasing championship news is because there's no fucking premiership news to tell, is it?
Here we go. I mean, he's obviously got contacts with Burnley, I suppose, or the agent of Obafemi. So that's what, you know, when you see like someone like Fabrizio Romano jump on it, yes, it's likely to happen and it makes it more concrete. However, if you do question, like, I'm not too skeptical in this instance, I think it's going to be all right. But is it like the agent's trying to feed the information to him so they can let him know, Obafemi's going Millwall? We don't really want him to go Millwall, but if anyone else wants him and they're interested, do you know what I mean? Like, he's going Millwall, but if there's someone else that's bigger that wants him for the rest of the season in the Premier in the lower league of Premier League or the higher echelons of the Championship, he's available.
I mean, there's another one now, look. Oh, man,
I think outside of probably the top three in the league, well, even I reckon he'd go to Ipswich, right? They're crying out for a bit of reinforcements up front. So outside of Southampton, probably Leeds and Leicester, he'd probably get in every other team in the league, I would have thought. Or they'd at least be interested to have him on loan.
It'd be an option, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we have to sort of take this sauce with a large pinch of ketchup, mate, because last time he told us he spoke to Watmore after the, or Honeyman after the game, and he was going to be out for 6 weeks. But he's saying it's Santos from Chelsea telling you he's been called back from Forest. He's a winger stroke striker. So, yeah, there's no sell-on clause for Fleming, according to a Fortuna fan.
There must be one.
Our Fortuna fan says that there is a 20%, a 15-20% sell-on.
You've got to imagine Fleming had a sell-on clause because, like, you know, what was he, 23 at the time he signed for us?
It was the whole reason why we got him so cheap, because the season before they wanted 5 million for him, and then we got him on a massive knockdown on the pretense that he comes here, I think, as a window and, you know, performs well, which unfortunately he hasn't necessarily performed great this season. But if he gets signed, then Leicester 1, Ipswich 1, final score.
Ipswich got a 90th minute equaliser.
Big goal that.
Santos rumoured this whole transfer window. David Brailsford has been brought in toward Man United's football operations. Do you think cross-sport moves can work, as most sports employees will be cheaper than football ones? I don't think Dave Brailsford will be cheap. He basically reorchestrated the whole of the cycling team under Sky and went on to basically dominate the Tour de France and the Olympics, didn't he? I think he was tied up within the Olympics as well. So he does everything from a nutritional sports. And I think he's all about 1% gains. You know, you hear about these 1% gains. And I think he is definitely a man who's on about 1% gains. So, yeah, I mean, Richard Gardner says, Santos would be awesome. I've heard there's been talks of him coming for a while. I bet you have, because Dan Riggs is your mate.
Dan, I'll tell you now, mate. You said you could eat 8 pie 6 mash to me last time I saw you. I don't think you can. But if we sign Santos, I'll buy you your 8 pie 6 mash and watch you eat it, mate. And if you don't eat it all, you can refund me.
There we go. Mate, see, look. Yeah, 19-year-old Brazilian. We had this one before, didn't we? Who was the last Brazilian?
I know, mate. It sounds like a load up a regen saver for a manager right now, I tell you. But I think one thing I will say, though, is we shouldn't rule out that probably we are knocking the door of Chelsea to try and get players. It wouldn't surprise me. But we know we are, I think. But it's obviously just like, is it going to be Santos? I don't know. I can't claim to know a lot about him, but it'd be some coup, because if he was at Forest first half season and recalled, you'd think they have really high hopes for him. So,
unless they rate Edwards a lot and think that he's probably better off under Edwards, then he would be under Forest.
He was 15-20 years, wasn't he, working there?
They love him.
They love him at Chelsea, so that's a given. Yeah, we've had this conversation with four other Brazilians that have been at the club before. Juan, the left back, whatever his name is, the left back, right back. What's your space on that one, I suppose? I'm not going to claim to know anything about that one with Santos, but you would just think we'd have Chelsea.
Loan signings in general. So if we got in, would that be... So we're allowed 7 and 5 in the matchday squad, right?
Yeah, so it's like Longman, Campbell. Who else are we missing?
Tanganga.
We've got four in a minute.
Tanganga.
He signs.
Yeah, so it's not that many. Yeah,
we've got four in a minute, I think, haven't we?
Norton Coffey.
Yeah. I know, five now with this one we took on today. So, yeah, there's five we've got. So, yeah, we're allowed a couple more in me, I think. So, yeah.
Any more news of Campbell going back?
No, nothing.
I think that will happen, though. I think he'll be itching to get a move somewhere, surely.
You would have thought so. Yeah. I mean, he's not even... If Billy's sort of fifth in line, he's sixth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be, you think surely Donora and Sam will get back in as well. Honeyman's there now, and you think Campbell's chances are very, very limited, you think, at this point.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
It's disappointing for him, because I think he had all the attributes, he has the personality from what everyone said. Everyone speaks so highly of him about his professionalism and that.
Yeah. Wright also pursued him for windows on end, didn't he, as well, before he went to Luton, so...
We tried to sign him on the permanent, right, from Scotland, and he went to...
I think
he just came in, he's been unfit, and I just don't think he's ever got up to speed, has he?
Yeah. Mickey, what team did Campbell play for in Scotland?
I'm not playing your game, but somebody
what team did Campbell play for in Scotland? I'm curious.
I'm on Mickey's favourite joke, this one.
Someone's going to do it in a minute. Can someone put in the chat who Campbell paid for?
I love getting a kill that one.
London Lions says, not seen any evidence of Edwards' contact book yet. Well, you know, the fact that... She's well,
thanks, Danny.
Danny, you fell for it, unfortunately. So, yeah. I mean, that one there, look, I mean... Not seen any evidence of Edwards' contact, but yeah, I don't think we would have got to Tanganga or Afemi without Edwards.
I think definitely, I think Afemi maybe, I'd say club, maybe bringing the name to the table. But I think Tanganga, from what he said post the signing, it feels like it was an Edwards addition, doesn't it?
But, Tanganga said that in his interview, didn't he? Basically, he said,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. First question, wasn't it? He's answered it straight away. So,
who's that player then? Heard we've been linked with Felix.
Shut up, Mickey. Shut up.
I've not said it, have I? You can.
Felix, yeah, but you fell for it. Feliz Navidad is Merry Christmas in Spanish, right?
Oh, okay. Wanker.
Connor Marshall, mate. Your car's marked by Mickey now, mate.
You're in a fucking timeout now, Connor.
Yeah. Dearie me.
And he is in a timeout, and I don't know how to get you back out of it.
Does it come back afterwards or what?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't know how long it is. I don't know if it's 10 seconds, 20 seconds, a minute or so. But yeah, you will come back. But yeah, I didn't necessarily mean to press it, but I just brought it up and I was like, gonna. And then I don't know, it's clicked on it. So yeah. Campbell needs to go back to Luton. Yeah, Connor, you will be back in a minute, mate. I don't know how to get you back.
You mean you did it to me? It was only about a minute.
Yeah, I don't think it's long. So, yeah. Right, gents, we said we'd probably do about an hour because Omar is a very highly needed man.
I'm on serious money per hour, so he's gone over a minute by now, so he owes me.
That's it. So, Omar, have you got... Oh, yeah, I mean, have you got anything you want to say?
No, mate. Thank you for having me on.
You don't come on very often.
Well, I just want to say, Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, you missed the trick there. You can come on with the other one. Benjamin, you got anything you want to say, fella?
No, I think the usual, mate. Don't get too high when we win. Don't get too low when we lose. Mm. I think we will win Saturday.
Oh, well. Yeah, no, I think... Cool. I hope so.
Yeah, against Leeds the other day,
I think hopefully we do all right. Good luck to the under 18s Wednesday. FA Youth Cup fourth round.
I've slipped my mind.
Daily Millwall will tell us in the 2-6. There's going to be a few bits coming out on our socials over the next couple of days. There's a Millwall fan, Rich Sayer, who is a boxing coach. He's been around the junior boxing and whatnot for years and done amateurs for years. And the last 7-8 years, he's and he's been doing pro training. And he's got a lad who I met today, Casey Kandami, I think his name is Kandami, I think he is. He's a British Afghan kid. He's not a kid, he's 29 years old. But this Saturday at York Hall, he's got a world title fight. It was quite weird because he was like, he's fighting where it's 50 kilo max weight. I think it's super flyweight or flyweight. And I said to him, so what's that then? It works out, it's about 8 stone. And I went, my boy is about 7 stone, 8 stone. And I said, no, I'm double your weight. And you just look at the really skinny mass, and you look at him, you go, like, I'd love to be that fucking slim, but yeah, but he's got a world title fight with a lad from South Africa at York Hall. And I've done a brief interview with him, and there's some footage and whatnot what I put together and put him out. And then obviously once he's won, we'll get him on the show and have a chat with him. But yeah, I mean, it'll be good with the Millwall connection if he goes out and does it, because I don't think there's been any of our other boxers in modern year what's done world. Obviously David Hay, but I think when he brought the belt round, it was only a Lonsdale, wasn't it? I think so. Yeah. Rest of the chat there. We'll be back on Friday. As Ted Cheeseman retired. Now, I don't think he has. I think he's still fighting, but he just hasn't fought for a little while. And the other thing is what I need to do. You'll see on the socials yesterday, I posted about Charlie Wynn. Some of you might know, remember the name Charlie Wynn. Yeah, Johnny Garton done the Lonsdale belt a while back. And then, unfortunately, through COVID, his sponsor pulled out and then he retired. So, yeah. Right, Charlie Wynn. Charlie Wynn was a Millwall fighter, up and coming. He'd come out of amateur, come into pro. I think he had about 5 or 6 fights, a couple of fights. And while he was training for another fight, he was sparring and training, got out of the ring, walking across the gym floor, and collapsed on the floor and had multiple strokes. And he's only a young lad. He was only about 24, 25 at the time. And he suffered a serious brain injury, so much so that he'd never fight again. And he has to have pretty much 24-hour medical care going forward from then till now. There is a Wynn Foundation which is being started, and also there is a there is a fun run. Well, say it's a fun run, it's not. There's basically what's going to happen is that they're doing a station run. So let me just get the right information up, or I won't get it right. And what they're looking to do is run from all the stations. So next Sunday, the 28th, 6 a.m. in the morning. I know most of you probably won't be up then, but 6 a.m. in the morning at Sidcup Station. And then you basically, it will be a run club, and that run club will run each week, and it will basically be run to raise money for the foundation. Charlie Wynn, to get him services, physios, etc., etc. So if there is anyone watching who knows anyone who's a physiotherapist or people who used to work with those or can get all the bits and pieces, then get in touch and I'll put you in touch with the family, because obviously if they can get bits a lot cheaper than what they're doing. So yeah, literally they'll be running the whole of the run. So you'll be running past every station from Sidcup to Charing Cross, and then obviously you can cut out any station you want, and then obviously you can go home. £10 to join, and all the money goes to Charlie's physiotherapy to improve his life. And then yeah, you've got obviously the destination. So you can start any one of these stations, Sidcup, New Elton, Mottingham. Mottingham will be a 5K to there, and then Lee, Hivergreen, Lewisham, New Cross is 15, and then you'll run past the Den and you'll run past Fisher Athletic or the Fisher Boxing School, and then you'll get to London Bridge and Waterloo Charing Cross, and it's about 25 kilometres. So those of you who are half decent runners, if you want to have a go at that, it's on a Sunday morning, get cracking. Those of you only want to run about 2 kilometres, then yeah, jump on that. That's it. Again, I will be pushing Charlie Wynn a lot more as we go on. 5 minutes longer than Omar. And yeah, that's it. So I do apologise for overrunning Omar, but I needed to get that in because Charlie means a lot
of course,
me. I've done a run. We've done a walk for him many whiles ago when I think we played Cheltenham, to be fair. We walked from his gym at Bromley Chase Station all the way to there, me and Nick and some others, Henshaw and some others. So, yeah, that's it from us. We are done. I can't be asked to play a video out, so we're just going to sit there and say thanks very much for watching. We'll see you again on Friday. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and make sure you share to your friends. Put it in your WhatsApp groups, everything else, and in that way, hopefully, we can get more and more people. That is it from us. Adios. Good night. God bless.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.